Roscode Weekly, number 44. I'm Joel Ross, Roscode.com, coming to you from the Dungeon Studios here in Spring Lake, Michigan. Hope you had a great week. We got a few stories here to go over today. Thanks for taking the time to download it. If you got any feedback, let me know. Weekly at Roscode.com. It's weekly at Roscode.com, or leave a voicemail, 206-424-4729. And I guess there's no point in delaying here. We'll just get right into it. Previously on Roscode Weekly, for a follow-up on last week's Fox story, they signed an agreement with their affiliates, and there wasn't a word on what the percentage was. Well, it is out now. It's going to be 12.5% cut that the affiliates get, and it's a 6-year agreement, and basically what they're going to do is they're going to offer their shows online for free, starting they'll be able to stream up to 60% of its schedule the morning after it airs. So that is the deal that Fox has decided to cut now. It's probably partly in response to ABC going free with all of their shows, so I think we're going to start to see more fall in place. Same thing with CBS and, you know, their whole March Madness thing that they did. Everybody seems to be catching on that the way to go is to get advertisers to pay for the shows and then cut deals with your affiliates to keep them happy. Microsoft started rolling out Live ID. It's looks like it's going pretty slow at first. There's a whole slew of features that's going to be very cool when it's finally done. But for now, it looks like they're just doing a bit of rebranding. It's also not everywhere either. It's only on a few sites. So most of them you probably go to, you won't even see the branding. But instead of saying Microsoft Passport Network, it says the Live ID Network. So if you see that, now you know why. This week's news and views. If you're not technical, you might want to skip this one this week. There's not a whole lot that's not real technical in nature. A few Microsoft ASP.NET specific things really here. So the provider source code has been released. Now, if you've used ASP.NET 2.0 yet, if you haven't used it, then this won't mean anything to you. If you have, there are tons and tons of built-in providers for sitemaps, roles, authentication, basically a whole user scheme you can set up in your database, and all of that code is built into, baked right into the .NET framework. Well, now it's been released, so if you've ever had any problems with it, or you want to make your own, you want to be able to see how it works, and you don't want to spend tons and tons of time in Reflector, then you can go out and get the source now. It also comes with a permissive license, which means you can use it both in commercial and non-commercial applications, which is very cool. Also, we talked about the Atlas Toolkit last week. A couple follow-ups. First of all, it includes templates to easily create your own Atlas-enabled controls, which is very cool. They're making it much easier for you to create your own, which is important because a lot of times the out-of-the-box ones aren't going to do exactly what you want it to. But this is the other cool thing. It's going to be open source too, and Microsoft is going to set up a source control repository for both Microsoft and non-Microsoft people to work on the current control. So that means you can go in, you could fix bugs on current controls, you could create your own control and add it in. And if it's popular, you could end up building a control that's used by billions of people. Well, not billions of people, billions of times per day. And then it looks like they'll have a few more details on that coming up later this month. SQL Server 2005 Service Pack 1 has been released. It's a pretty fast turnaround considering that SQL Server 2005 was just released back in November. So if you've had any issues with it, maybe they're fixed. If not, I think there's a couple things that they've changed the way they work that should make SQL Server 2005 a little easier to deal with. Last technical item here, Visual Studio Express products, the ones that have been free for a year, that's going to continue. They're going to be free forever. Now, I was kind of wondering exactly how they're going to manage that process, because I've already downloaded my copies on the network, and it doesn't sound like it goes out to the site to activate. So I was curious how they were going to make them so they weren't free after a year and expect people to pay for them and not find them on some downloadable site where they've been off of free for who knows how long, for a year then. So looks like they've decided to go ahead and go the free route. Slashdot is getting into social bookmarking, sort of. So when you can now add tags to things, they've got a bookmarklet so you can bookmark things, and then a popular bookmarks page. The actual intent of this is not to compete with Dig or Delicious at this point in time, although that's obviously a possibility down the line. Right now, it's basically just becoming an extension of their submission bin, so they can start to look at bookmarks and say, You know what? A lot of people are submitting this. Let's get it up on the homepage faster. CNET is returning to TV, although not as a station or anything like that, or as a show. They're going to become on demand. So they're going to be available on demand. At this point in time, Best Buy is the sponsor. They're featuring the Geek Squad. And then when they actually launch officially in June, it sounds like they'll have a few other sponsors on board. And they've sold this to Cox Communications, TiVo, and TVN Entertainment. If you don't know anything about TVN Entertainment, they package video on demand content for MSOs and telecoms. The Cold Wars. Alright, TiVo and Akastar, they've been battling it out in the courtroom, and it is over. TiVo has won. They won their patent infringement case. And they are reportedly going to get $73 million out of this, although I'm sure EchoStar is going to, they're gonna drag this out as long as possible, hopefully, probably with the eventual goal to reduce this. Now, here's what this could mean for TiVo. More than just the $73 million, this will probably eventually ripple down to other DVR manufacturers in more ways than one. So, Motorola makes one, Scientific Atlantic, who's now owned by Cisco, they make one. A bunch of people make one, and basically it's a pretty broad patent that TiVo has. So they could potentially here get licensing fees out of a lot of these companies. And remember, they signed an agreement with DirecTV to stay on board another 3 years, and part of that was, in my opinion, to avoid patent litigation with TiVo, as that gave a truce on patents for the duration of the license or the agreement. So that's another way they could potentially start to see some windfall from this. The other thing it does, so not only does it give TiVo cash, but it also makes them an acquisition target, because now if you buy this company, you get this patent, and you've got the chance to get all this potentially extra income when you buy that. So there might be a few companies looking to snatch up TiVo right now. Remember, Yahoo has always been interested in that. Speaking of Yahoo, they have bought Medio. Now the question is, does this eliminate them from the TiVo stakes, if there are any TiVo stakes or not? Medio makes a platform to be able to record video on your PC, and they're saying this is a move to get Yahoo into the PC DVR market, which is something they've been talking about doing for a while. So the question remains, would they also want some sort of hardware to go with this, which would be a pretty cool combination if they could come out with a TiVo that acted sort of like a sling box to be able to get video content onto your PC, or the other way around, a la Windows Media Center. Burst.com wants to shut down iTunes. They say Apple is in violation of several patents related to music and video downloading, and they have asked the U.S. District Court in San Francisco to shut down a range of services, including iTunes, QuickTime Streaming, and sales of the iPod. Now, that's probably the biggest one. So all of a sudden, everyone seems to be going after Apple. Remember, France just asked Apple to open up the iPod to get something other than just stuff through iTunes onto it. And Apple basically said no, but I guess when you get popular, everybody starts to come after you. Just ask Microsoft. Best Buy reveals the first HD DVD player. Okay, so they didn't reveal it, but they are selling it. It's the Toshiba HD-A1. Now, the XA1 was on sale in Japan starting last week, and that was the $1,000 model, but this is the $499 one. The best part about it is, if you go out to Best Buy and you buy this, you can get absolutely no DVDs for it. So if you want a pretty cool, expensive box to set in your house, then go ahead and buy this. And apparently it's kind of bulky for what they're offering. Opera is going to be offering a voiceover IP solution, a partnership partnered with a company called Jaja. I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce that, but basically they're going to optimize it to work with Opera browsers. Jaja, by the way, provides the voiceover IP software. They're an up-and-coming company, and they're hoping this will give them the boost that they can both take. It's going to be available via Opera Mobile and Opera Mini. Expected to be Q2 of 2006, which is coming up soon. And then it will also be available via a widget, sorry about that, in Opera 9's desktop browser. Feedburner is now allowing you to have email subscriptions. So if you're using Feedburner, which I do for Ross Code Weekly, you can now allow people to to subscribe via email, which may come as a surprise that I didn't offer that to some of you, because I think some of you probably subscribe to that to Ross Code Weekly that way. If so, that's because they previously used Feedo and Feedblitz to do that. I've used Feedblitz as the one I have on my site. They're still going to offer those, but they also have another own service, and the advantage of their own service is it's non-branded email, so it looks like it's coming from the publisher. So I may be switching over to using the Feedburner one because I don't want it to have to say Feedblitz and have Feedblitz's stuff all over it. You also get access as a publisher to the email list right within Feedburner, so you can manage everything right through Feedburner, which, good or bad, ties you even more to Feedburner. But the feature set sounds like it might be good enough to get some publishers to go ahead and tie themselves to Feedburner. Obviously, they're already choosing to with their subscription list. Why not just go all the way with email subscriptions, too? If you are a hacker and you obtain an illegal copy of Vista, you will get no Aeroglass if they find out. So it doesn't sound like they're going to shut down the operating system, but if it's not licensed, Aero will be disabled. You'll get the same UI as Vista Basic. And the theory is that the people who do this, who want to get this, typically have the latest and greatest, and not having the cool UI will convince them to buy a legit copy. That's the theory. In practice, probably what it'll mean is that they just figure out a way to work around being able to get Aero back enabled, even if they don't have a licensed copy. The Grapevine. Alright, first up, I'm not sure how much of a rumor this is. This may be more just facts, but I haven't seen much about this, so I'm going to call it a rumor for now. Windows Media Player 11 for Windows XP is expected to be out by the end of June. Briefly demoed at CES in January. Otherwise, you haven't heard much about this, which is kind of surprising given the openness that Microsoft has become, or we've become accustomed to from Microsoft. But anyway, it sounds like it'll be lighter on features than the Vista version, but most of the features that it won't include are surrounding streaming of DRM protected content, which I'm sure there's some sort of built into the operating system to handle that in Vista that's not going to be there for XP. Oracle may launch their own version of Linux. They say it makes sense to offer one considering they're relying on one for their software. So Oracle makes database software their thing. We might as well offer a customized operating system that would be good to run Oracle on. Microsoft does it, they've got Windows. The other thing it also does is Microsoft's sale of Windows on the desktop has kind of given them an in to the server software market. So maybe Oracle's thinking the reverse. If they can get into the server software, then people will start to buy or get Linux for the desktop, thinking it will work better with their servers. So Oracle may be doing that. As they do that, they may be considering acquisitions of one or two firms dominating the market, which to me basically says Red Hat and Ubuntu. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what Oracle wants to do in that front. Yahoo may be considering offering Wi-Fi. Not complete Wi-Fi, but basically through Messenger, you'll be able to access certain Wi-Fi networks for IM and voice over IP calls, even if the network is closed for regular traffic. Sounds like it won't be free, but it will be $8 a month or $3 for a couple of hours. Odds and ends. Just one quick thing here. PhotoBucket is said to get about 2% of internet traffic. So that's pretty good. You know, 2% isn't that high. But when you consider all of the traffic on the internet, that's quite a bit. I think RossCode.com only gets about 1% of all internet traffic. Anyway, PhotoBucket isn't as cool as the other photo/video services, but it's used more because it's simple and I guess it's made it to the mainstream. They got 14 million users. They get 80 photos a second uploaded, which is just insane to me. And 30,000 videos uploaded a day, which is kind of surprising because they don't even launch their video service officially until April 25th. The other thing to note about PhotoBucket that's kind of different than most of the other competitors out there, they're profitable. Bonehead of the week. Alright, I got three possibilities here, but I picked one because I think they're the biggest bonehead of the week. Anyway, we'll start with AOL. They are said to be blocking negative emails. So last week, a bunch of emails were blocked that had the URL dearaol.com in them, which is a site that is against AOL's planned email tax. AOL says it was just a software glitch with emails that had that URL in it, among a couple others, but I didn't hear any mention of what those other ones were, and that the problem has been fixed. Maybe, maybe not. I tend to find that hard to believe that after 10 years, all of a sudden they've got a glitch in their email system that happens to block a site that is very critical of AOL's email policy. So I'm gonna have to say they're a pretty good candidate, but they won't get the call this week. Apple has made a little girl cry. So an 8-year-old girl, part of her class, she wrote Steve Jobs to give him suggestions about how he could make the Nano better. She got a form letter from Mark Acker saying, "Please do not send suggestions because we don't want unsolicited ideas," which to me, there's two things wrong with this. First of all, why would you send something like that to a girl? You know, it's a little girl. They obviously said, he later called to apologize, and then they changed their stance on how they send email to children. But the fact that they come flat out and just say, "We don't care about your feedback," is just a little bit arrogant to me. That's pretty close, but Philips takes the cake this week. They have patented anti-commercial skipping technology. So when you hit a commercial, they have a way to prevent you from being able to change the channels during the commercial. So you would no longer be able to channel surf. So maybe they're smart and they patent this to just bury it in their vaults and never to be seen again, but I doubt it. And if they actually try to use this thing and nobody else has it, I'm pretty sure nobody's going to be selling any units or buying any units from Philips. So Philips, this week, you are my bonehead of the week. And that's going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks for taking the time to download and listen. I appreciate it. Again, any feedback to weekly@rosscode.com. That's weekly@rosscode.com. Or leave a voicemail on the voicemail line, 206-424-4RCW. That's 206-424-4729. So, with that, keep this sweet and short, and we will be back next week with another show. Have a great week.